Turn over to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. We're going to be looking at verses 4 and 5 as our text here this morning. I'm not always compelled, just because it's Mother's Day or Father's Day or a special day like that, I'm not always compelled to necessarily speak on that subject. But today, I feel the Lord leading me to speak on the subject of fathers, godly fathers, on this special day. And so we're going to look at what Psalm 127, verses 4 and 5 teach us here this morning. The Bible says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." We see here in verse 4 that the psalmist speaks of children as being arrows in the Father's hand. And the picture that he's trying to create for us here is of a father who is carefully and skillfully guiding his children towards an intended target, just like a warrior would with his arrow, and how he intentionally will pull his arrow from the quiver, and he'll intentionally place it in his bow, and he'll draw that bow back, and he'll point at an intended target. And when he lets that arrow go, it strikes true to its target. And the psalmist says, children who have been given by the Lord are the same thing. That's the picture that he's trying to create for us, carefully and skillfully guiding his children towards an intended target. And so I want us to use this analogy in the scriptures this morning, and let us as fathers find some instruction as well as encouragement to guide and to direct the lives of our children. And the Bible places this responsibility to guide and to direct squarely on the shoulders of the father. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, turn over there with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I want you to look with me in verse 1 and following. "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Wow, that passage is full of instruction, and we can't take the time to cover all of that today, but we see that God has given command, and God has given instruction, and he says, the things that I'm commanding you, it's your responsibility, Dad, to teach those same things to your children. It lies squarely on your shoulders, Dad. You are to lead. You are to guide. You are to teach. You are to protect. Thou and thy son's sons all the days of thy life. We see here in this portion of Scripture the length of time that's necessary for the teaching and the training. It's never to end. It's not over. He says it's a continual thing. He talks about it in verse 7. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." All day, every day, we have a job to be teaching, to be training. And so this is the direction that we're going to go this morning in our message. the title of the message as arrows in the hand. As arrows in the hand. Turn back to Psalm 127, and we'll look at a few principles out of this portion of Scripture here. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, I ask that you'd bless the preaching this morning. Father, pray for our fathers in this room, all over the place. Help us to absorb this truth and understand the great responsibility that we have in teaching and training our children. And the Word of God says that children are an heritage of the Lord. You've entrusted them into our care. And Father, help us to understand, embrace this great responsibility. And Father, to apply your Word that gives us the instruction on how to be successful. Lord, I pray for our young men who are not husbands or fathers yet. Father, that they'd not just turn a deaf ear to the subject matter today as if it doesn't apply. But Father, to embrace the truth of God's Word, to become mighty men, men of valor, godly men themselves, to be ready and prepared for when you provide. Father, would you bless the time we share together this morning in Jesus' name, amen. All right, the first principle that I want you to look at is found in verse 4. The Bible says, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Arrows in the hand of a mighty man. He's talking about here fathers, godly husbands. And so the implication is, if there it needs to be a mighty man, a man of valor, what kind of a man does a father need to be himself? A mighty man, a man of valor. The father must be, first of all, skilled and strong himself in order to accomplish what he's supposed to accomplish. This word, mighty man, comes from the Hebrew word that means to be skilled. It means to be powerful. It means a warrior. If you get down to verse 5 and you see, happy is the man, that is a word that is very similar to the mighty man. And it comes from exactly the same word, but that word there means valiant. It means warrior. What is the implication? What kind of a man does God expect and want us as fathers to be? He wants us to be skilled and to be strong. Really, the reality of it is that arrows are no more effective than the archer. Are you with me? Arrows are no more effective than the archer. The bow itself is not better than the man who holds it. Your children and your children's future and their spiritual well-being starts with you, Dad. You must be that mighty man yourself first before you can be effective in releasing those arrows to the right target. It starts, first of all, with salvation. You cannot be what God wants you to be if you're not even saved first. You must have Christ in your life first before you can be a mighty man, a man of valor, a strong, skilled, disciplined man. If you've never repented of your sin and trusted in Jesus Christ for your salvation, then you cannot be what is commanded in God's Word. It starts with salvation. You got to have God's help. You got to have Christ in your life first. But then beyond that, once you're saved and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you still cannot be a mighty man and a strong man and a skilled man if you're lazy in your spiritual life. The reality of it is we live in a selfish age, a selfish world. And it's all about me, and it's what I can get, and it's look out for number one. That's the mantra of this world. But Dad, it's not about you. It's about the generation that God has given to you, the heritage of the Lord. You are responsible for their spiritual well-being. You establish the foundation for their life. In order to get them on the right track, you must be that first yourself. 2 Timothy, hold your place here in Psalm 127, but turn over to 2 Timothy 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. The Bible says here, you may be familiar with this verse. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Certainly this verse speaks of diligence here. But what you may not know is that these words have specific meanings. The word study there doesn't necessarily mean to be, you know, a bookworm. The word study there actually means to make an effort to be diligent. That's the definition of the word, all right? Make an effort, be diligent to show thyself approved unto God. The word show means to exhibit. The word approved in this context means acceptable. So what is he saying here? He says, make an effort, be diligent to exhibit the fact that you are acceptable unto God. You know what? Growing, being a skilled and a godly and a strong man takes diligent effort. You cannot be lazy in your spiritual life and expect to be all that God wants you to be for your children's sake. You cannot invite the world into your life and saturate your life with the entertainments and the philosophies and the thinking of this world and be all that God wants you to be for your children. It takes diligent effort on your part and on my part to be into God's Word and to obey the principles of God's Word, to walk with the Lord. Every day, diligent effort. Make an effort to be acceptable unto God. Listen, if this book, men, dad, if this book has an hour or an hour and a half or 2 hours of your week, you're going to be really weak. You hear me? If this book isn't a part of your everyday life, if this book is not the thing that guides and directs your life, you're not going to be skilled and you're not going to be strong. And you're going to do your children a disservice. You need to make an effort. Well, what kind of effort needs to be made to be that skilled and strong man? What needs to be exhibited in the life? What do your children need to see in you? If you look with me over in Mark chapter 5, we're going to look at a man story here. In Mark chapter 5, a story of a father who demonstrated some things to his daughter. Things that your children and my children need to see in us. We look in Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read this account here. Beginning in verse 21. It skips around just a little bit in this chapter with some other details of other things. And so we'll just focus in just on this particular person. Mark 5 verse 21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. I want you to skip down onto verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he comes to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entereth inn where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Now I read this story, this account here in the Gospel of Mark, to point out some things about this father. And he was concerned about his little girl. What kinds of things can we glean from this passage of Scripture? Things that this little girl was able to see and notice in her father. And there are these the same principles, the same kinds of things that need to be seen in our children or by our children in our lives. The first thing is in verses 21 through 23. Notice here when Jesus passed over again by ship, all of these people came around. Verse 22 said this ruler of the synagogue came to Jesus. His name was Jairus. And the Bible says that he fell at his feet and he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. You know what this little girl saw in her dad? That our children need to see in us, dads. She saw that he wasn't ashamed to seek after Jesus. The Bible says that he came to him, he fell at his feet, and he besought him greatly, seeking after the Lord. He didn't send his wife, and he didn't send anybody else. The mother is mentioned in this passage of Scripture. But she's not the one who was seeking after Jesus. It was the dad. He was the one who sought after the Lord. And listen, fathers, it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility as a father to lead my children in the way of truth and righteousness. They need to see you, dad, seeking after God yourself. It's not mom's job to lead the family. It's not mom's job to be the spiritual leader of the home. Mom shouldn't be the one initiating family devotions. Mom shouldn't be the one always giving spiritual instruction to the children while dad is off somewhere else with his computer or with his television or with his newspaper or with his project out in the garage. That's your job, dad. Hello? He didn't send his wife. He sought the Lord himself. Our children need to see us in God's word. Our children need to see us leading the family in family devotions and prayer together. Our children need to hear us saying, we need to pray for so and so and this and that. We need to pray that God works in their life. Let's pray together. See another thing in this passage that this little girl saw in her dad in verse 24, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. If you skip down to verse 38, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. We read on there, and when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. You know what she saw in her dad? Not only was he not ashamed to seek after Jesus, but he wasn't ashamed to bring Jesus into his house. When Jesus entered in, what happened? He said, why are you weeping? She's not dead, she's asleep. And what did these other people do? They laughed him to scorn. So what did Jesus do? He kicked them all out. And here's the principle, here's the point. You know what, dad? When you invite Jesus Christ into your home and he's the head of your home, he's going to run out all the things that don't belong there. If Jesus Christ is the center of your home, you know what? The TV is not going to rule your life or your home. Your priorities are going to be right. And Jesus Christ, when he's the head of your home, he's going to kick out and run out all the people and all the things I don't belong there. For the sake of your children. What are you bringing into your home, Dad? Is it the world? Is it the devil? Through the world's entertainments, the world's philosophies? Your children are going to be captured by something. They better be captured by the truth of God's word. Because if they're not, the world's going to capture them. Not ashamed to bring Jesus into his house. The third thing that we see there is that he wasn't ashamed to show his love for his little girl. What was it that caused him to leave her side? Here she is dying. The final moments of her life. What caused him to leave her side? It was his love for her, because he was running to the source of help. He was running to the thing and the one that could make the difference. What did he show his daughter? I'm willing to do whatever is necessary. I'm willing to do whatever I have to do that you might live. And let me make the spiritual application with our children, dads. There ought to be nothing that we're not willing to do to introduce them to Jesus Christ, the one who can save their soul, that they might live eternally. Keep the world out. Do your job. Be a strong, mighty, skilled man. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man. You got to be that yourself first. You know, love is not giving your children whatever they want. Love is not giving them a closet full of clothes and a toy box full of toys. Love is pointing them to Jesus Christ. I can't think of anything worse, honestly, than to be together here as a family, but in eternity, be in different places. Come on, Dad. You hearing me? Number two, go back to with me in Psalm 127. Your children need to see in you, Dad, that you're not ashamed to seek after Jesus, to bring him into your house, and you're not ashamed to show your love for your children. But secondly, not only must the mighty man or the father be skilled and strong, but the father must also shape and sharpen. We look here, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. What good is an arrow that's not sharp? We have a responsibility as dads to shape our children. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to go a bit over time just so you know. We're not getting through all this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look with me in verse 10 and following. 1 Thessalonians 2:10, ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Here's the Apostle Paul writing to this church in Thessalonica, and he's saying, look, this is what we've done. In verse 11, we've exhorted and we've comforted and we've charged you as a father doth his children. The point I'm making here, and we'll get to some of these words in just a second. Dad, we are not to be off in our own little world, living our own little life, and our children being left to themselves. The Bible says that a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame, but that includes the father as well. Our role as dad needs to be active in every part of life, because it forms and shapes the character of our children. Here, notice Paul says what fathers do. What do fathers do? They exhort. They comfort. They charge their children. The word comfort means to encourage. And by the way, Dad, your responsibility is only being partially met if you work to put food on the table and clothes on the kids' backs. Yes, that is your job, but that's not solely your job. Dad's responsibility is far more than just food on the table and clothes on the back. There's personal involvement in every level of life. Comfort. It means to encourage. Dad, it's your job to encourage your children. You know, some tough times growing up. Don't you remember being a kid? Tough times when they reach those teenage years and drama and all kinds of things that happen in a house full of girls. It's hard to be the comforter sometimes when you don't really fully understand. That's part of the dad's job, to be an encourager and a comfort. You know, there's hurt feelings that happen in life. People abuse you. People mistreat you. People say unkind things about your parents. There's some hurt feelings. People are going to fail. But we can be in a comfort and encouragement to our children by teaching them, look, you can't put your faith in people. You need to look to the Lord for your strength. Yeah, people are going to fail you because they're sinful, just like you are. But our source of strength is in the Lord. And to give comfort and encouragement and guidance and point them back to Jesus Christ. What else do dads do? They exhort. Paul said here, we exhorted and comforted and charged. Exhortation. You know what that word exhort means? It means to call near. It means to invite. It means to invoke. Let me tell you something, Dad. Your words mean something. Your words are important in the lives of your children. And if they're unkind words, if they're mean words, if they're harsh words, and you give the impression that they can't ever do anything right, it's going to make a difference in how they are shaped and how they're formed. Our words mean something. What do we need to speak? We need to speak Jesus to them. We need to speak truth to them. Invite them. Draw them near. Not just with our words, but with our life. Charged. He says, Paul says, I've charged you. That word means give witness. It means testify. In other words, live it out in your life, Dad, not just in your words. Why? Because they're not going to follow your words if your example is something different. Amen? Dads, here's a scary thought. Your children, our children, become us. I was talking with a man earlier today. We were talking about cycles where the children become their fathers. And these cycles just end up repeating themselves over and over and over again in families. And without Jesus Christ in the life, some of those negative cycles can't be broken and won't be broken. But when Christ comes in, we can make a difference and those negative cycles can be broken. And we can start at a new path. But here's the scary part. Your children become you. What kind of a person do you want them to be? They'll follow the example. And if the words don't match the example, it's going to breed rebellion and breed discontentment. Dads, we're shaping our children one way or another, either by our godly example or letting the world do the shaping. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 4. Ephesians 6 and verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Whose responsibility is it to to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's the father's responsibility. But notice what he says here. He says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. That means that it's quite possible and quite likely that the father's life will be what provokes children to wrath. And so he gives special warning. Don't do it, Dad. What is it that provokes children to wrath? Inconsistency on the part of a father is going to breed rebellion. And it's going to provoke them to wrath. Because inconsistency tells a child that I don't know where my boundaries are. And it breeds insecurity in the child. And oftentimes parents find their children acting out and doing these weird and crazy things because they want attention and they don't know where their boundaries are. And so they're looking for them. And they're pushing. Inconsistency on the part of the father is what brings the children to wrath. Like, for example, Dad's in a bad mood, and Johnny does this, and Dad, because Dad's in a bad mood, he brings the hammer down, boom! And completely overreacts and deals with that issue, whatever it was. 2 days later, Dad's busy with his whatever, and Johnny does the same thing. But Dad's too busy to pay attention. Well, we'll just deal with it later. Go see your mother, or whatever. What did that do? It just brought a lot of confusion into the mind and the heart of little Johnny, didn't it? Because 2 days ago, he got the tar beat out of him, you know, for doing the same exact thing. Today, Dad just kind of lets it go. That's inconsistent. And eventually, what's going to happen is that Johnny's going to be old enough to say, "Forget you, Dad." He's going to be rebellious and provoke children to wrath. An uncontrolled temperament on the part of the father provokes a child to wrath. You know, Dad's flying off the handle here. Dad's flying off the handle there, overreacting. His temperament's not under control. It breeds rebellion. This verse goes on to say, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He's talking about character building and character training here with consistency. The word bring them up comes from the Greek word that means to rear, to maturity, to nourish, to train. It's Dad's job to rear to maturity, to nourish, to train. It carries with it an emphasis on continuation. Wow. It's a continual job to be consistent, a continual job to nourish, to train. Bring them up, train them, nourish them in the nurture. That word nurture means instruction. It means correction. It means chastening. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word admonition means mild rebuke. It means a warning. What is he saying here? It's Dad's job to take the lead in character training in our children, to teach them and to train them, to rebuke them, to chasten them, to instruct them in the ways of the Lord with consistency. It's Dad's job. Proverbs teaches us that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Dad, that's your job. So many times, what do we see? Mom is the one who administers any kind of discipline in the home, in the family. And you know, Johnny acts up and Dad's too busy and so he won't do anything. So Mom has to, or he says, you deal with it. Dad, if you're around, if you're home, if you're there, it's your job. Amen? According to God's word. Proverbs 29:15 says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. We have the job of shaping the character of our children. We have the job of sharpening our children. Proverbs 22:6, a promise from God, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Train up. That's our responsibility. The word train up means to narrow. It means to initiate. All right? Follow this line of thinking. Train up a child in the way he should go. The word train up means to narrow. It means to initiate. The word the way he should go, is talking about a road. It's talking about a course of life. Are you with me here? So, narrow the road, narrow the course of life for your child. And when you put them on the right road, in the right course of life, God says they will not depart from it. We all have a sin nature, and we're all disposed to evil. We don't need to teach our children how to sin. There's a broad road, isn't it? What is the way that leadeth to destruction, according to the Word of God? It's the broad road. It's the broad way. It's the narrow way that leads to life everlasting. The instruction we find here is to train up our children, to narrow the road, to initiate, to get them going in the right course. It's a father's job to narrow that road, to get them in the right direction, and God promises that they won't depart from it. Listen, the question of the hour is not what are my children going to be, but rather, what does the Lord want my children to be? And how can he use me to shape them into that? My kids can be whatever they want to be. The one thing that I need to make sure of as a dad is that they serve the Lord with their life. It's not what they're going to be, but what does God want them to be? And how can he use me to shape them into that? We can read about fathers in the Bible who neglected their job in 1 Samuel 3 and verse 13, talking about the priest Eli and his sons. And the Bible says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not." Whose job was it? To narrow the road. There are dire consequences for not being that strong and mighty man. The last thing that I want to point your attention to, well, there's two things, but I'll be quick. The mighty man, or the father, needs to see, and he needs to size up. Seeing and sizing. The archer, remember, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. The archer, at whatever distance he is shooting, he has to see the target, he has to size up the target, and then he has to point the arrow at the target. What good are arrows without a target? Right? I'm just randomly shooting arrows out into the air. Wherever it lands, I don't care. All you're going to do is lose a bunch of arrows. But it's true. Dad, with your children, if we're just randomly in going through life and there's no guide and there's no target and there's no goal, what good are the arrows? The target that we need to have for our children should be similar to 3 John in verse 4, where John says, "I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth." That should be the target, Dad, to see that our children walk in truth. This should be the aim of every father, but it won't happen by itself. Let me ask you the question, Dad. How's your home life structured? Do you have goals? Do you have expectations for your children that you're aiming for, that you're shooting at? Are you just randomly going through life with your ambitions and your career, etc.? But then there's the shooting and the sending. The mighty man, the father. You know, I've talked to bow hunters whose skill level in hitting the target is spot on, excellent. They're marksmen. But I've talked to these hunters who, at the point of critical whatever, you know, the point of release, the critical moment, couldn't let the arrow go for whatever reason. You know, maybe they were sitting there staring at that trophy buck or whatever, and they pull back, and you know, their heart is pounding, and their heart is pumping, and they freeze, and they can't let it go. One man told me, regretfully, I just couldn't let the arrow go. The fact is, children grow up. And the day is going to come when, like the arrow, it needs to be released. It needs to be sent. It should be our aim to send our children out with godly skills, emotionally stable and strong, to leave home and be able to handle life. But for me, personally, the greater awareness in my heart that is this, that the day is quickly approaching, that they're no longer going to be an arrow in my hand. So it's today that I need to be skilled. Today that I need to be strong in the use of God's word to shape and to sharpen those arrows. Dad, it's today that you need to be applying God's word in your life. Not tomorrow, or I'll get to it, or I'm growing. It's today. It's right now. We don't have time to be wasting, Dad. Don't be a deadbeat dad. Our world's full of those already. And the world needs to see a different example. Don't be a non-existent dad. I live in the house, but I'm not part of the house, of the family. God's called us to so much greater than that. Look back with me in Psalm 127, this last verse, and we're done. This kind of ties it all together here for us. Verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." Your children, my children, they're the heritage of the Lord, Dad. They belong to Him. But listen, they walk after us. They follow us. And so let's not think of heritage in terms of something that's down the road. Heritage as something that is, you know, when they're gone. But we need to live their heritage right now, today, before them. What a great responsibility we have as fathers. I think it's easy, because of the selfish nature that we have, to be so caught up in me, in my life, that we neglect on some level the great responsibility that we have to train up our children. Maybe today, I don't know what the Lord would speak to your heart about, but maybe today there's something that you need to get settled, something that you need to recommit to take seriously this responsibility that God has given. As arrows in the hand, what target are you shooting at? What road are your children on? Better be the right one for their future, and maybe for their all eternity. Let's pray.